All right, everyone. Welcome to the next session. Just the usual housekeeping. If you're leaving a little bit early, these chairs are fairly loud, so don't do exactly that. there's going to be some good sessions here, and you'll have some time for questions at the end. So let's get started.
All right. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm super excited to be here with you today to talk about Flatcore, to talk about releasing a Linux-based OS. And I hope you will learn new things. I hope you discover things. And yeah, if you have any questions, I'll be around for the rest of the day. And I'll be available at the end of this presentation to answer your questions. Before going further, I will quickly introduce myself. So my name is Mathieu. I work as a software engineer inside Microsoft. I'm mainly involved and principally involved in the Flatcore development and every features regarding Flatcore. So for example, I'm involved in the cluster API fields, I'm involved in testing the operating system, building the operating system, and what's matter today is releasing the operating system. If you are here at this talk, I assume it's because you have maybe some knowledge about Flatcore, you're already a user of Flatcore, or you just want to discover and you're curious about this operating system. So let's have a quick look of what is Flatcore. So Flatcore is a Linux-based operating system. It's designed to run containers. So you only have the bare minimum in your operating system to run containers. The goal is to have, the less package you ship in the operating system, the less surface attack you have on your operating system. So that's the point of having this. This operating system benefits from automatic updates, which means once you've deployed your instance of Flatcore, it will get automatic updates from the release server, and each release is done every 2 weeks approximately, so you can be sure to have a new version of Flatcore every 2 weeks. And finally, this system is immutable, which means /usr is in read-only mode. You can't write anything in /usr. You can't install any package. There is no package manager, there is no APT or whatever. So that's a few differences from a day-to-day operating system. Flatcore is already designed to run containers and nothing more. So the question is, just to show you inside the box, so I tried to write something on /usr, it doesn't work because it's read-only, that's normal, even in sudo, and try to use the command package manager, the command not found for each one of them, because that's the goal. Yeah, the idea is that you have to trust the maintainers and what they ship inside the OS, and if you need something more, you can ask yourself, or you can ask to the maintainers or the communities, or you can try to find a way to install these packages. How do we maintain the system? Because you can't update yourself the package, you can't install any package, so you have to trust the maintainers and the community. So on GitHub, so this is the QR code on the GitHub repository which leads to this list of packages. Basically, we are security driven, which means each time there is a new CVE, a new issues with one of the package shipped by Flatcore, we track it into this repository and we update the package. So for example, last week we've got the runc and docker CVE that has been made public last week. So it's already tracked, and when we will release the next Flatcore, so I hope this week, you should get this update closed. So the package are updated by the security driven base and also by a community driven base, which means if one of you wants to add a new package to Flatcore, you can just open an issue. Hey, I'd like to have this package or this package into Flatcore. Is that possible? And if it's relevant for the community, if people are okay to have this new package into Flatcore, there is some chance that this package is being included in the next Flatcore release. Most of the time, we try to challenge people to say, can you use a Docker image instead of using this package? Or can you use just the binary that you will download from the boot of the instance to get your software? So we try to challenge always in the same goal is to have the less package into the operating system, because the less package you have, the less vulnerabilities you have in your operating system. If you want to know what's going on in the next Flatcar release, you can join the office hours. So this is done publicly every month. The next one is on February, and during the office hours, we just check the Flatcar release boards and we check which new package will be included in the next release. So you can give your opinion, you can give your input of which package should be prioritized or not for the next release. That's always a great time to discuss between maintainers and community about the content of the next release. So yeah, that's the release board. It's available and public on GitHub. And of course, we ship new packages and package updates, but also the bug fixes and new changes and new features into the operating system. Now we are ready to release, but before releasing, I would like to demystify a bit the Flatcar release number, because this is something we've seen quite some time, that people are getting confused with the Flatcar version number. So this is a Flatcar version number, and the idea is like Semver versioning, but not really. For example, the first digit, the 3760, it's the days since the first CoreOS release, because Flatcar is a friendly fork of CoreOS initially. So 3,000 days, it's almost 10 years. So it was 10 years since the last release. Then the second digit is the promotion level. So are we talking about alpha release, beta release, stable release, or LTS? And finally, we have the patch or the maintenance level, which is the last digit. So if you have a zero, it means it's a new major release, because there is no patch yet done for this release number. So based on this, we can play a small game and try to identify who is who. So for example, the first 37602.0 is a new major stable, because you have the zero at the end, which means it's a major release. We have the two, which means stable, and we have the first digit that just showed the how many days since the first CoreOS release. But based on this, who is able to find what is the third, so 3850.0.0, what is it an alpha release? Yeah. Yeah. Is it a patch release? No, so it's a new major alpha. And the last one, so with all the threes, 3033.3.18, what does it mean? LTS, yeah, and it's a really old LTS, because there's a bunch of patch releases. So patch releases means basically kernel updates. Each time there is a kernel update for the LTS, for example, we just update the kernel, the CA certificates, and critical security issues like OpenSSL, but that's it. But for the LTS, most of the time it's just kernel patch release, so that's why you have a big number for the LTS. So I mentioned alpha, beta, stable. How does it look like across the time? So we have a new major that is done every 2 weeks. Then from time to time, we decide to promote that alpha to a beta. So that's why we have a one that happens to this example. And then after a few times, this beta node, this beta version becomes a stable one. And eventually, it will become an LTS one. So that's quite interesting, because you, as a user, if you run stable Flatcar release, it means it has already been in beta a few months before landing into stable. So that's why also we encourage people to run beta nodes into their workloads, like so they can identify if there are any issues with their workload before it gets into stable. Yeah, so that's the release cycle. Now, what's the release process and how does it work? So most of the time it's done in 4 days. We never release on a Friday, because it's a well-known rule that we don't want to break at Flatcar neither. But basically, on Monday, we start to build the new Flatcar releases. So we kick off the build for the new alpha, new beta, new stable, and normally the new LTS. So this is done on Monday. And on Tuesday, we check the status of the builds. Is the CI okay? Is the image of build successfully? So yeah, we have a checklist of things to see and to check. And we start drafting and preparing the release notes, because that's quite important when you have a new release, is to communicate to people that there is something new and that would be interested to know what's inside this new release. So yeah, on Tuesday we start drafting the release note, and Wednesday we have the go-no-go meeting. So this is a meeting done publicly on Matrix channel, where we discuss about should we actually go forward with the release, are we in a good shape of a release, and can we move forward. So this is the go-no-go meeting, so basically we just check is everything green in the CI, are the release notes correctly prepared and everything is good on the CI, and yeah, we decide to go or not to go with the release. Then we have the actual release, which means we are going to take the new images to publish them on the release servers of Flatcar and to generate the new payload, because as I said, Flatcar is going to get automatic updates, so we need to generate the payloads to get them downloaded by the current running instance. And then we have the announcement. As I said, it's important to communicate to people that there is a new Flatcar release. And on Thursday, we have the marketplace release, because Flatcar is supported on multiple vendors. So we have the AWS, GCP, Azure. So we want to publish Flatcar images on this marketplace. If we check, If we check the release process for on Monday, so one of the Flatcar engineers will start the build and it will publish. He will publish the links. Then on Tuesday we check. We start to preparing the release notes. So this is, for example, for the last table, and there is some notes. For example, there is Flaky test with Calico CNI on DigitalOcean. So we try to identify: is it our fault because of a test framework? Is it something really critical? So sometimes we have to stop the release because we have an issue with a new kernel that has been identified with the test framework. So this is the kind of notes we can take during the release process. And after that, we have the go-no-go meeting. As I said, it's done on Matrix, and everyone, contributors and maintainers, are invited to say go or no-go for the release. So it's a ping into all channel across all members, and yeah, so people can give feedback on the release status, and we decide to move forward with the release. And when it's done, we actually have the release. It's available, it's on the public website, and we communicate on Slack, on Matrix, on Mastodon, that there is a new release available, and please update and give feedback on the release. And finally, we have the marketplace update. So this is an example with AWS update on the marketplace. So what's interesting with this process is that the community is involved at each point and always. So nothing is done in secret or whatever. Every time you can give your input, every time you can see what's the status of the release. Are we close to have the release to be done, or are we far to have the release to be done? So, for example, the checklist of all the these items are on public GitHub issues, so you can easily see where are we during the release process. The release notes are drafted on a HackMD document, so you can browse the release notes and start write and send some comments on it. And public discussion are always on Matrix. So regarding Flatcar release process, it's always on Matrix, but also for the public discussion of Flatcar development. So every decision regarding Flatcar is done publicly on Matrix, so there is no, as I said, secret discussion. The only thing that is still secret is the build for now, because we still have some credentials for the various cloud providers, so ideally we would like to have it in read-only on Jenkins, and people can just see the logs of the build and see how things are going on. But it's not done yet. What we've done is that now if you open a pull request against Flatcar repository, it will start the build on GitHub Action, so you can see your logs and you can see if something goes wrong, if the CI is okay. So it just build a QEMU image and run the test on the QEMU image. But for the release itself, it still relies on Jenkins, but eventually we'd go public on the GitHub using GitHub Actions. And I think that will close the talk. So if you have any question, I'll be around with some Flat Terra teams member for the end of the day. And thanks for attention for this Sunday afternoon session.
All right, icebreaker question, great.
What's the elevator pitch for using Flatcar above Fedora's offering or MicroOS from SUSE?
MicroOS and other software, other operating system are quite similar, but Flatcar has it's multi-vendors, for example, or you can use it on-premise on bare metal on different cloud providers. Also, you have new features that we try to merge into the Flatcar operating system, for example, systemd6x or other things that we try to leverage. And also, there is this, we try to do things upstream first. We got this talk about upstream versus downstream before that, but that's the idea. We try to go upstream first, so each time there is a new feature, we try to first implement it upstream before trying to solve it downstream. So we try to be more on the community side and try to fix the things on the upstream and not really on the downstream. And then speaking of fundamental differences, for example, with macOS, you don't have the same mechanism to boot the instance, to provision the instance. For example, with Flatcar, we use intensively Ignition or Afterburn, which is not yet available or experimental on macOS. So this is the kind of difference you can see. And if I recall correctly, I'm not sure if macOS is using OS3, but this is the kind of functional features you can see the difference. But in the end, it's the same purpose of operating system. It's just to give the user an operating system to run containers. That's it. So as it's open source, you have the choice of which solution you want to use.
Thanks. One more. Feel free to no comment this. How much has changed or has it been noticeable since Microsoft took over or the acquisition?
Yeah, thanks for asking the question. So for the short story, Flatcar was developed initially by Kinfolk, which was a company that has been acquired by Microsoft 2 or 3 years ago. And I'd say it didn't change a thing for now for the development. The governance has always been on the community side, community driven. And I'd say it's even better in a way because now we have we can totally being dedicated to this operating system and to the support of the operating system. And recently, like a few months ago, 6 months, something like that, we started to look into CNCF incubation. So basically, we would like to have Flatcar find a new home at CNCF. So there is an open issue on the CNCF tracker, so you can see the status of the incubation proposal. But in terms of governance, nothing's changed, and we're still dedicated for users to get the best Flatcar experience on any cloud providers. Thank you. Other question?
Yeah, Matthew, thanks for the talk and for the distribution, the idea, everything. So I'm not familiar with the project, so I'm attending just to understand what's going on. So everything is a container, right? All tools and everything are running as a container. But I'm curious how the kernel is booted or the initRD is done or the is it a container or not? Or I don't think so, I don't know.
So Flatcar is not running inside a container. Yeah. Flatcar is an operating system like Ubuntu, like Debian, like whatever. It's designed to run container workloads. So you have the bare minimum to run container workloads. You have a container runtimes, you have the kernel modules that fits well. So in the end, it's like any over Linux distribution. You have your kernel, you have the boot process, you have the initramfs, and then after you have the user space.
Yeah, so if I understand correctly, the stuff that's supposed to be previously managed in containers now traditional packages is now containers, right? But if a new version of a kernel is released, then how that's distributed, let's say.
So if you have a new version of a software, how it's distributed on the operating system? That's the question?
Yeah.
You just wait for the new Flatcar release because it's immutable. So if there is a new OpenSSL version, for example, you have to wait for the next Flatcar release to ship that new OpenSSL version. Like so you get the update.
That last one. So that's like pulled from the internet. It's not like in a format of a package, right?
Sorry, come again?
Is that in a format of a package or it's pulled from the internet straight?
Yeah, it's not in the form. Flatcar is based on Gentoo Linux. So the Flatcar itself, when you build it, you take the sources from the various repository using Gentoo mechanism, then you build the package. Then once the package is built, it is included into the image, which is the new Flatcar, then the new Flatcar is released, and this is how you benefit from the software update. Okay?
So I think my question is also, let's say, not on the technical, but more on the political side. History is that this is a fork of CoreOS when yeah. Ken Falk started this, right? Then it was brought by Microsoft. But Microsoft has its own, the CBL Mariner, this. So how does this fit and what is, let's say, this is a cloud-based, let's say, the essential client that you have, that this OS has to be used in cloud, right?
Thanks for the question. So CBL Mariner is dedicated to run on Azure, while Flatcar is dedicated to run everywhere, and it's not mandatory to run Flatcar on a cloud provider. So as I said, you can run your own Flatcar image on Raspberry Pi on ARM64 at home if you want to, or if you have your own, Proxmox. We have some people that use Proxmox to run Flatcar. So yeah, Flatcar is really multi-vendors and multi-architectures, and so while CBL Mariner is really dedicated to Azure and nothing else at the moment.
Hi. In my previous role, we used Flatcar quite a bit for a while, but then we ran into kind of some trouble with AI, and especially around things like we were trying to use like InfiniBand, and we were actually kind of running into, I think, getting everything set up with Flatcar. Are you all kind of working more towards like AI workloads and making those easier to run on Flatcar?
So I'm not at all an AI expert. Maybe Jeremy, behind you, is
a Flatcar member. I'm also a Flatcar maintainer, and I've been looking at NVIDIA and GPU support in the past. And we want to get better at that. It would be great if someone from the community would also help, because I have limited cycles. But it's something I and we care about, right?
Just one last question. No one else has any? Do you support different container runtimes?
So at the moment, we only ship Docker and Containerd. But basically, in a non-official way, you can use Podman using systemd sysx, which is a systemd feature which allows you to mount overlay FS or images on the base system. So yeah, with Podman, we ship a systemd sysx in a non-official way, so you can just pull this Podman extension and load it on the system and have Podman up and running. There is some tracking issue to have this out of the box, of course, like so you don't need to provisioning and to pull Podman system extension, but ideally we should be able to say, okay, if you want Containerd and Docker, or if you just want Podman, use this configuration and not this one. But yeah, you can use Podman. I did some experimental things with it, and it works.
Cool, thank you.
All right, I think we have time for one final question, if someone's up for it. All right, looks like there's no question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.